The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2017 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2017. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Before we begin, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity to grow together and learn together. Thank you for bringing us together here today. Thank you for the work of David as he goes around and gets technology up and running in all the rooms. And I pray that we'll learn and grow together today so that we can glorify you at our schools through physical education and athletics and throughout the teaching process. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be a very, very basic and practical, Lord willing, workshop for you. Not a lot of theory behind why we do physical education and sport. That's just going to be assumed that it's an important thing throughout the curriculum. So if you're looking for something more theoretical, I apologize. We're going to keep it really practical. If you're looking for some good theory and books, Ravi Jain has a great book for sale by Classical Academic Press on the liberal arts tradition. There's a good section there. Again, Ravi Jain, his book's for sale upstairs. And then Richard Reisen, R-I-E-S-E-N, has a good book called School and Sport, A Christian Critique. So those are two neat books that you can pick up on. My name's Tim Durnland, and I'm the head of schools at Reach Christian Schools. We have about 1,000 students in our school network. We provide a special needs school, a homeschool co-op, a contemporary school, and a classical Christian school. I've been affiliated most the longest amount of time with Tall Oaks Classical School, and that was where I had some experience teaching physical education. And that's a picture of my family from a few years ago. My background is primarily in athletics, and I was able to coach at the college level in the area of wrestling at Ohio State and Penn State, Lehigh, and Ashland University, Purdue University, and even lived for a couple years at the Olympic Training Center and was able to compete around the world and represent us on the United States team for the Pan Am Championships and others. But I couldn't resist the calling to get into classical Christian education, and I'm glad I did. It beats the highs of coaching at a large national level, such as that picture there. I had an opportunity to coach for Penn State at a large arena in the national finals. But the thrill of classical Christian education is great, and I had the opportunity to serve at Tall Oaks Classical School and in the area of physical education. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit today. The Greek gymnastiki is to train the body, in particular, to train it as the servant of the mind. And we know that certainly that's been a staple of the classical tradition. Do you need me? All right, very good. Good, how are you? All right, very good. The Greek ideal was to make the perfectly symmetrical body to serve the perfectly equipped mind. And we know that the gymnasium was the center of cultural life for the Greeks, and a lot took place there. Socrates and Plato certainly both emphasized the importance of sport and athletics. Plato was actually known as broad shoulders and broad, and a lot of people presume that he was a wrestler. One of our teachers at Tall Oaks, Dr. Stephen Turley, likes to say that he was a wrestler and tell me how great that sport is. So it's fun to think about Plato wrestling. Something happened here. All right, there we go. So as we look through this, we're going to be off and running now. Here we go. As we look through this, we certainly don't want to, in classical circles, be on the side of the Gnostics and assume that the body has no importance. The body is very important, and to overemphasize the learning and the mind and de-emphasize the body and say that there's something unimportant or even sinful about the body is certainly to overstate things. 1 Corinthians 6:19 reads, "Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and you have received from God?" So the Holy Spirit is in our body. The body is very important. We need to steward our bodies well. God gave us many, many gifts and talents, and certainly our body is a great gift from God, and we need to train it and be make it our slave, as Paul talks about. But in Colossians 3:23, we see, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not to men." So we need to steward our bodies well that we've been given. And I'm going to get into the concept now of having a sport-based physical education program, one that is based strictly on doing sports rather than training the body through just other means. Using sports in physical education is easily understood here in America because we live in the culture of a sports world. So a lot of times the teachers can understand easily how to do a sports-based curriculum. The students can understand a sports-based curriculum. It's engaging and rewarding. So after we train in the sport, then we can participate in the sport and have the reward for the students in that sport. It's beneficial to the body. There's a lot of different sports we can train in that that strengthen our body and our ability to have confidence. There's beneficial overall to the mission as well, and this is one that I'm most concerned with. If we have sports in the rhetoric stage, if we have opportunities for co-curriculars, then we can retain our students. How many of you have a problem or struggle a little bit with students selecting out around eighth grade and going to other high schools with more options? Yep. I think that's a real problem, because without the rhetoric stage, that third stage of the trivium, we're not training kids well. We're losing them at a critical stage. One of my passions is in spiritual formation, and if we don't keep those kids for that rhetoric stage, when they still have questions from the logic stage about their faith and other things, then we can really do a disservice to them as we send them off. So if we have options in the upper school for sports and other co-curriculars, then it's beneficial to our overall mission. Dr. Chris Perrin has a neat booklet on an introduction to classical education, and he presents this model that the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric is always going on at every stage. And with a sports-based physical education curriculum, we're using the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric at every stage of our curriculum. So, for instance, in second grade, we'll have a six-week unit, and we'll do 2 weeks on the grammar of a sport, and then 2 weeks on the logic of the sport, and then 2 weeks on the rhetoric or the game and playing the actual sport itself. So, again, that's influenced by Dr. Perrin's work. I think it's really, really important for physical education instructors to have a strong opening routine. So a routine that's really structured and done every day as part of your liturgy in the classroom. So when the students show up, they need to line up. You need to take roll and then just get right into some activities. The opening routine I'm going to present to you is about 10 minutes long, and it really helps with strength, endurance, and coordination. And it also helps the students to be disciplined and structured and ready to learn. So if you can choose six sports to do throughout the year, you can take a 36-week school year, divide it by 6 weeks, and have six sports that you do in your physical education class. You might choose soccer, basketball, lacrosse, field hockey, football, or volleyball. Some classical Christian schools have really excelled at archery or fencing. There's a school near us that had fencing equipment donated and they've leaned into that. There's other schools who are doing ultimate frisbee. So whatever you have that you do, you might want to select that and train the kids in it. It's very similar to our rhetoric program. We have our students standing up and presenting from kindergarten and leading. I'm sure you all do that as well. So that by the time they reach the rhetoric stage, they're ready for that oration. One of our students, Kana Turley, actually won the Chrysostom Award this year, and she'll be presenting tomorrow. And a lot of that is based on starting very early in the process. So if we start early with sport, they'll have somewhere to go when they get to the upper school. Also, when you have time, it's good to pre-test and post-test in a mile run. And when I was doing physical education, I had the mile run start in first grade and go all the way through our 10th grade students. A first grader's going to run a mile. It's not too far, so just have them get out there and do it. If your class period is 40 minutes long, they can certainly walk the mile in 40 minutes. So have them get out there and do it. And if that's not challenging enough, ramp it up to a mile and a half. So it's just like our academic programs. We hold a high standard, and we expect them to get there. Too many times in physical education, we don't hold a high standard, and we just treat it more as an activity to burn off some steam. But we can train them and really get them. Oh, there we go. All right. So we have an opening routine I want to run you through. And see if these are going to work.
Good morning. Let's take attendance, and then we'll get.
That's very loud. Let's see here. We're going to get through this.
Going? Zeke Smith?
Here.
Boaz Jones?
All right, so this, real quick, we're going to get into a 10-minute really practical way to set up and run through a liturgy of getting the students ready to go. They come in, they stand in line, and there will be about 20 students in your class. Take attendance, and then just have them run 5 laps right away around your gym. If you don't have a gym, you can do it around another area. And that can be almost a quarter of a mile that they're getting in every time they have gym class.
Here. Anna Ortego?
Here.
Rebecca Johnson?
Here.
All right, jog your 5 laps and get in place. Go.
So they come in and they run their 5 laps, and then what I like to have them do is split up and stand one line of boys and one line of girls. I think it's important to split our girls and boys as we go through PE, and I'll tell you why. So pretend they've run 5 laps, they split out, they stand in line, and then we get ready to go into our next routine.
Okay, girls, 2 big steps back. Boys, shuttle run, ready, go.
So once they come in and they get warmed up, then they do their sprints.
Okay, girls, your turn. Boys, take a big step back. Ready, go.
By now, they should have all of their pent-up energy burned off. They've already run almost a quarter of a mile. They've done their sprints, and then they're ready to really calm down and listen. So at the first grade level, even through the 10th grade level, we have 10th grade boys coming in and just jumping around, just bursting at the seams, glad to be out of the classroom. So doing this right away builds up cardiovascular conditioning, builds up their legs, and they get their sprints in and keep going. Then they build their upper strength and go right into some push-ups.
Okay, push-ups, ready, go. Do it for 30 seconds.
One of the reasons I like to split up the boys and the girls is there can be a big disparity. One group that we had a really strong eighth grade group of girls who were just going to crush our boys. They were just going to crush them. And I didn't think that was appropriate. And so we kept them separated so that the boys could continue to grow and build their confidence. And then the girls could also compete against each other. One of our eighth grade girls, Josita Marshall, couldn't stand that. She's really competitive. She'll probably play volleyball in college. And she just kept saying, "Dr. Dernland, I want to compete against the boys." So I had to pull her aside and mentor her and just say, You will crush them, Josita. We can't have you do that. I agree. You need some competition, but you're not going to get it there right now. So and then we have other classes where the boys are really strong, and it's I like to run more a physical program, and I don't want our boys to be treating girls in an inappropriate way.
Okay, now you're doing sit-ups for 30 seconds. Get your partner. Get in your sit-up position. Everybody get a partner.
Again, this is one of the reasons where it's good to have the
hold those feet.
Split up.
And start doing sit-ups for 30 seconds. Ready, go.
So when we when I started this program, it was about 2 weeks into school, and several of the parents started calling in, and they said, you know, we think there might be a flu going around. Our children are all complaining of really painful pain in their stomachs. And our nurse was getting a lot of
time.
Calls and complaints, and finally we put two and two together, and I had to reassure the parents that, hey, the abdominal muscles, they really recover quickly. It's going to be okay. And keep pushing through it. And so we went ahead and kept going, and they were able to recover. And then we go into some foot speed so that they can work on.
Okay, foot speed and coordination. On the line, front and back, quick feet, ready, go. Okay, side to side. Go. Split feet. Go. Scissor. Go.
And then next up, they just go into some stretching. So it's about a 10-minute.
Okay,
warm-up.
Sit and stretch. And I'll explain to you what's going on today. Sit and V stretch.
Go quickly. And then when they sit down to stretch, they should be really, really tired and need a break about now if you've really pushed them hard. And when they sit and stretch, then as the PE instructor, you have the opportunity to go around and set up the cones or drills that you have for the day. They're seated. They're not running around. And they're also stretching and working out the lactic acid from the week before. So they go through their stretch. Now we're going to go into an individual unit routine, and we're going to use soccer as a basis for it. And so, again, the first couple weeks will just be the grammar of soccer and running them through the paces of just some structured things they might not understand the first 2 weeks, and then they get into the logic of it and then a game of it.
Okay, quick taps on top of the ball. Go.
So they're just tapping the ball here, and then they can go into passing to themselves. And all these are going
to... Okay, kick the side of it. Pass it to yourself. Short passes to yourself. Go.
A lot of times in physical education, we want to explain everything before they get started. I think just speak just briefly to the students and then let them try it. Let them learn through doing. Let them make mistakes and then go back and correct what they're doing. Otherwise, they'll just glaze over. So they're learning to pass to themselves. And then they start with a partner. So you line up all 20 students on the line, and they just do very short passes back and forth to each other.
Okay, short, small passes to each other. Ready, go. Nice and soft, Anna, nice and soft. There you go.
So they're doing short passes to each other, and they're starting to learn ball control. And I think it's important to go over these drills a lot. Just make them keep doing repetitions.
And okay, let's pass with the inside of our foot. Go!
Then we've taught them to pass with the inside and the outside of their foot. So they start working on that. And again, just high repetition. High repetition. And don't let the students sit. Or when they're stretching, if they try and lean back, make sure they're always leaning forward. Just keep them moving.
Okay, now with the outside of your foot, start passing with the outside of your foot. All right, good.
So then we go from going by themselves to a group of two, then to a group of three, slowly building it up. And
okay, passing in the triangle. Go.
At Tall Oaks, we only have 1 day of physical education a week. How many of you have 1 day a week? How many of you have more than 1 day a week? Okay. How many of you have 5 days a week for a semester or a quarter? Okay. Good. Then after that, we go into just more grammar of the sport and circling around the ball.
Okay, we're going to tap and then circle around the ball. Ready, go. Circle. Tap. Circle. Tap. Circle.
So they'll get to the logic of this in a couple weeks. One of the last grammar things we do is the throw-ins. And as we finish
all
up.
All right, working on our throw-ins. Take it over your head. Keep your feet on the ground and stay behind the line. Go.
As we finish up the grammar stage and head into the logic stage, that's typically where I'll give handouts out to the children and show them what the court looks like and go through the rules. And so then they can understand where we're going when we get to the rhetoric stage and play the game. But again, even with that, I seek not to...
Good job, Anna.
...get too technical on the rules. And so then we can explain it again when they're actually playing the game. So in the logic stage, a fun verse I came across, and I don't want to go too much into this, but Ecclesiastes 12:12, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. So it's good to get out there and work hard and train the body so it doesn't become weary. Hopefully there's no pastors in here that are going to tell me I'm using that in the wrong context. All right, so now we're getting into the logic stage, and we can go through dribbling down the field. They've learned how to softly move the
dribble
ball.
Dribble around the cone, short passes to yourself. Go.
And they can go down and back. And then as we talk to them, we start talking to them about connecting with teammates and talking with teammates and learning more about why they want to get into triangles and pass in triangles. And they can start doing drills that pass to each other and score. So again, with more students, you're going to have longer lines, obviously, and have to split the field in two, most likely. And you'll have students more of the same age range. These guys are in kindergarten through sixth grade. Then you can add in some a one-on-one game. You've done the drill in the grammar school with tapping on the ball, and now they're going to try and
ready
get the ball from
go
each other.
Oh. Ready. Go. Ready. Go. Ready. Go. Last one, ready. Feet on the ground, Anna. Ready, go.
So then the next drill we will do is they've learned how to circle around the ball, and now the reason they want to know that, the logic behind it is so they can defend the ball when someone's trying to get it. So one person needs to circle and use their body while the other person tries to get their foot on the ball.
Ready, go. Go ahead, start again. Ready. Stand behind him, Boaz. Stand behind him, Anna. Stand behind her. Ready, go. Go ahead, Rebecca, do it again. Good job, Boaz. One more time. Go ahead. Try and get it, Anna. Go ahead, Boaz.
So those girls should not be sitting down back there. I'd be getting on them as their teacher. Just like in an academic classroom, a non-sport classroom, the pacing of the teaching can often control the discipline and classroom management. If there's wasted time, if they're bored, then there might be problems. If in math class, just like there could be problems in sport class, physical education class. So, keeping a high-paced curriculum and a high-paced class. I typically wrote everything out by the minute of what I wanted to do, and knowing that I might not get there, but just being very detailed as you set it up can help, and it can help you and also help the students since you know where you're going. Martin Luther is a great and rugged man. He was a great and rugged man, and then he said, in education, the young must romp and leap, or at least have something to do that gives them pleasure. And so going into the rhetoric stage, we're going to be playing games. And so the students should be at the point now where they can implore their skills and play a full soccer game. We don't have many goals. And so we had to adapt and modify the games. And so I'm just going to show you one example of a modified game. And since we didn't have any goals to shoot on, what we did is we just took a cone and set a volleyball on it on one end, and then a cone with a volleyball on the other end, and that's how they had to score. They had to shoot the soccer ball and knock the volleyball off of the cone, and they can still play the game. In this modified version, we don't have any out of bounds, and that way, a lot of times when there's out of bounds, it stops the flow of the game, and they don't get as many touches on the ball or as many reps, and so we started with not having an out of bounds. Also, we seek to split the courts so that we have maybe 4-on-4, 6-on-6. So there's a lot of touches and reps on the ball. When you play a full game, sometimes you don't have as many opportunities to learn and grow and touch the ball. So here's a minute-long version of a modified game. So there we go. So that's a basic outline of how you can run a sports-based physical education program that includes the Trivium. We'll talk briefly about athletics and then open up the floor for discussion and questions and brainstorming. I'm sure we're probably all at different stages of whether we have 50 students in our school or 300 students in our school and how to start programs. So if we want to have questions and brainstorming about that, we'll have time here at the end. In the athletic program, I think it's important to coordinate the physical education teacher, the athletic director, and the head of school. And it's important to have a meeting, whether the athletic director requests that and organizes it, or the head of school, or the PE teacher. But if you're going to run a sports-based program and train the kids up and get them ready for sports, certainly the head of school and the athletic director will have an influence on where that's going. So getting a meeting like that and talking through would be good, just to brainstorm together and have that meeting. And then in the middle school, I think it's good to start clubs in the grammar school and start some programs, some after-school programs. We have a running club at Tall Oaks that the students participate and run in with one of our teachers after school. And then we have, for the history of the school, we had Junior Titans programs where there'd be little soccer programs for young kids and after. And it just helps train them up and expose them to where they might be able to go. So the middle school, then, we have a philosophy where it's skills, drills, and everyone plays. And as we go with that and really focus and emphasize on exposing children to sports, there might be some children who are just late to the game. They haven't done any sport. And so to eliminate them at the middle school level and only play the best players can harm their opportunity if they're a late bloomer or developing late. So seeking to get everyone in the game and just really get the fundamentals until the varsity sports are started. And then once those are started, then it's really about blooming where you're planted. Again, we talked about start an archery team if that's what you have to offer, or start a running club or a cross-country team, rather. Someone found out my background and donated a wrestling mat to the school, and so we started wrestling. And we wouldn't have started that because it's an expensive proposition. It's about $12,000 for a mat. But now there's no cost to it. So we started a team this year, and we had 9 boys join, and one of them lost his match to go to the state tournament, even though they were all first-year wrestlers. So just jumping in and starting. I'm not of the opinion I just like jumping in and starting stuff. So a lot of people are saying, no, Tim, that's crazy. You need to take 4 or 5 years and build these kids up. But we just jumped in, and it was neat to see 9 of the kids show up and be able to do that. A couple last things on athletics. It's interesting that West Point and Harvard were the two academic institutions of higher learning that that started athletic programs in the 1800s. And then shortly behind them, the Naval Academy. The Naval Academy has often said they started it because the midshipmen were getting in trouble in downtown Annapolis, and they just wanted to occupy their time and give them more to do. So obviously athletics can have a lot of great benefits. Just a couple last things. Be creative. Be creative. A lot of those drills that we just went through, we just made up. We hadn't seen some of them before. Obviously a lot of them have been around. And you probably expected to hear at the ACCS conference that YouTube is a great source of information. it really is. It really is for this purpose. Get on YouTube. When I was teaching, we on the East Coast, lacrosse is a popular sport. So we have a lot of plastic lacrosse sticks, and we started lacrosse. I didn't know anything about it. When I was teaching physical education, so I found out that Cornell University had a decent program and a lot of videos on YouTube on how to teach the sport and learn the sport. So I just watched a lot of YouTube videos on lacrosse, and then we had the little first graders playing lacrosse, and we took time in this program and just taught the grammar and the logic and rhetoric, and it was really cool to see these little boys and girls handling the lacrosse stick and cradling and running up and down, and again, just setting a high standard, and they can achieve it. So a high pace, high reputation, and high praise. Really praising the students a lot as you teach, specifically because failure is so visible. When you fail a math test, nobody else really sees except you. But in athletics, everybody can see you right there. And so just really being mindful of that and not letting the kids be embarrassed, and encouraging them and praising them, and then they just get used to falling and getting right back up, and just setting that expectation early. Say, hey, you're going to fall a lot. Just jump up and keep going. A couple more short things. One of our graduates this year, Aaron Weber, was a neat example of a warrior poet. We need to be training a lot more warrior poets, men like David, who can appreciate psalms and music, but also be able to kill a bear, be able to kill a lion. And Aaron Weber is going on. He graduated this year. He was a valedictorian at Tall Oaks, and he gave our commencement speech, and it rivaled any message from any pastor I've ever seen. He just brought me to tears with his godly and Christ-like love. Love for Christ and the way he presented that in his graduation speech. But man, he's a warrior. He gets out on that pitching mound and he throws that ball, and you're gonna get kids like that who push the limits and every now and then step over the line. A couple years ago, he used some inappropriate language during a basketball game, and so he stepped over that line, and it was an opportunity to learn. And the next day, he drove over to the rival school's campus during school and talked to the athletic director and to the team. I get a little choked up. I just love the fact that he went over there and said, "Hey, I wasn't living like Christ. Will you guys forgive me?" And so it was really neat. So when you're training kids, sometimes it scares us in classical Christian schools that, uh-oh, we're getting some ornery kids here are pushing the limits, but it's okay to work with them. It's an opportunity to expose some of the weaknesses, because competitive sports exposes some opportunities for growth and learning that we might not otherwise see in the classroom. Let's see, a couple other things, then we'll open it up some questions and dialogue. Oh, we started... A few years ago, we started track and field at Tall Oaks. So Tall Oaks is a school of 210 students, and we were located on a school that only had a parking lot, no grass, nothing. It was just a rental facility, and we had a really active principal, and he wanted to start track and field, and so he started it, and we had 25 kids in the upper school show up, and that was definitely more than half of our upper school. And he just loved them and got them out there, and we trained in the parking lot, and threw disc and shot just near the parking lot and found a way to do it. So just figuring out a way to start programs and seeing if they work is a really neat thing to do in sport. So at this time, I want to open it up to questions. Actually, let's finish off with 1 Corinthians 10:31. Man's primary purpose, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So that's some of the ideas to brainstorm with. I'd like to open it for questions in these last few minutes. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, sir. That's a great question. So how do you keep the balance when you have a few highly skilled soccer players and a few that have just never done it at all? Some of the times I just would let it go, and then other times, like the young lady I talked about, just pulling them aside. Weston Marshall was really great at soccer and did a lot of club sports in our school, and I had to pull Weston aside and just say, hey, you know, you're really, really good. Work on passing. Work on just getting to open positions and see if kids can pass to you, and really mentor them in how to love their fellow student. And it's hard though. It's hard because they want to get after it and play. So how have you addressed that? Okay, all right, very good. Yes, ma'am. It was boys and girls. So when I was running the program, the question is how did we do lacrosse? We did it the same way we did the soccer. We just split them up in lines and had them passing to each other and just worked on scooping the ball and then short passes, then longer passes. Then we set up targets, had them passing at targets. We've stepped into a new opportunity now where lacrosse is a middle school and varsity sport. We've teamed up with another local Christian school and share sports, and so these students who had done lacrosse are now trying it. So there's my son's one of them. So he did lacrosse in third grade when I was teaching, and now he's in seventh grade and he's doing lacrosse. So he was exposed to it early in PE class, and then had an opportunity to jump into it. Yes, ma'am. All right. Okay. I think there's. Okay. Sure, that's a good question. So, we at Tall Oaks, the PE program is 1st through 10th grade. So the question is how to train upper school differently than lower school. Is that right?
Yeah.
There was a lot to the question.
Yeah.
No, that's. No, that's good. I do. We're actually wrestling through that right now. So Tall Oaks had PE required kindergarten through 10th grade, and we're considering not having PE required 9th grade and above, and then just asking them to play a season of sport. Any sport, so there's definitely a benefit though to doing it, and it's oftentimes the nature of how much we're trying to fit in classical schools. But I ran the same type of training for first grade and for 10th grade, and obviously we could cover a little bit more in 10th grade, but I just looked through the same cycles so that they could, because there's so many different, you have the kid who who's a star, and you have someone who's never done it, and so it's, I just sought to start everything at the basic level and go through each time. Sure. That's a good comment, just pairing up and matching them up differently. And so we talk a lot about the body of Christ and how we're all wired differently at different parts. So someone might be helping someone else in calculus, and then the same thing in phys ed, helping each other and just loving each other. Oh, great. Where are you from? What's your name? Jake from Westside Christian in Ohio. They focus on a Christ-like attribute every quarter. He was wondering if I have anything like that. No, but I'm going to write that down because that's a good idea. That's very good to focus on that as part of it. Brother from the Ozarks. Good question. Are we doing those sports every year? No, we can we switch those up. And honestly, we've had a different phys ed teacher each year, and so there's been some variance in that. But if we're small and trying to grow a program, I would stay with those consistently so that we can then feed in and grow a sport program. I think it's a great long view to grow in the rhetoric school. Yes, sir. Okay. So how do you differentiate between the grammar and the logic stage, right? The dialectic stage. So I think it's a personal choice. So for me, when the students were circling around the ball, that was a grammar stage. And then when they didn't really know why they were circling around the ball until then they had to defend someone. I consider that more the logic stage because I would explain to them, okay, you know how to circle around the ball. This is why you were circling around the ball. Because when someone tries to get it, you can defend them. So to explain to them, now this is the next stage. So there's a little ambiguity there, but just seeking to define it and think through it is helpful. I don't know if that helps. Let's... Yes. Yes. So the skill, the application of the skill for a game situation, and then the actual game. Well put. So the question is, when do they dress for PE and how? So at Tall Oaks, the grammar school students, they come to school in their PE uniform that one day a week, and they love it. It's nice, and they just show up and they're in the. Sorry, Joe. Sorry. and then they change. They dress down in the upper school. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Other questions or thoughts or comments? Yes, sir. We just got to that point. Our principal is interviewing two people right now. And for the first time in my life, I asked him, can one of them teach a sport? What type of sports do they do? So we're just getting to that point where I'm asking that question. Because right now we have a lot of outsiders coming in, and I don't think it's helpful for the whole community just to have them fly in, drop in, teach a sport, and drop out. It's so much better to build that relationship and form them for Christ. When you know some of the weaknesses or strength the child has character-wise and in their virtue, you can address it in the hallway. So, yeah, we're trying to press more into that. I'm sorry? We don't have any athletic periods. We got to the point where students were being pulled out of school a lot. So we've shifted our seven-period academic day and added in a 30-minute study hall at the end of the day. So everybody in the upper school has a mandatory study hall. And so then they can go and get tutoring from their teachers. But they also don't miss as much academic time when they're pulled out for sport. Benjamin Schneider right here in the purple. Stand up, Benjamin. Let's hear it for Benjamin Schneider. he's a recent graduate just this year of Tall Oaks. He's going to run cross country at Gordon College. And so he'd been pulled out for cross country, and this year he wasn't as much because he had some study hall at the end of the day. Any last questions before we finish up? Well, hopefully this is just a start to thinking through. I'm really excited that in this movement, I think we've done a really great job of figuring out how to recover the lost tools of learning in academics. And we have a little divot in our circle, in academics, rather. We have a little divot in our fully formed circle in the area of sport and athletics. And hopefully we can have more and more workshops on this and start figuring out how to do it well in our schools. So thank you very much.